from KPFK Pacifica Radio. This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. At his first State of the Union address, President Donald Trump announced an expansion of the U.S. nuclear arsenal, saying that it would be, quote, so strong and powerful that it will deter any acts of aggression. He added, quote, perhaps someday in the future there will be a magical moment when the countries of the world will get together to eliminate their nuclear weapons. But there is no magic needed for countries to eliminate their nuclear weapons together, only a global treaty. One treaty between the top two nuclear powers in the world is called the START Treaty. Both Russia and the U.S. recently reiterated their commitment to it, but Russia is questioning the U.S.'s position in light of Trump's statements. Indeed, the U.S.'s nuclear posture review, just released days ago by the Department of Defense, has reflected Trump's enthusiasm for weapons of mass destruction. The document was denounced by the group Peace Action as seemingly written by Dr. Strangelove. So my guest is John Rainwater, Executive Director of Peace Action. Welcome to the program, John.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Dr. Strangelove, for those people who don't maybe remember that reference, is a pop culture character from several decades ago who had a passion for nuclear destruction, right?
That's absolutely correct. And from the movie Dr. Strangelove, and it does seem like Trump shares that irrational, really naive, frankly, passion for nuclear weapons. And his statements have made that clear.
So I quoted the statements that he made in his State of the Union address. And indeed, he's made statements going back months and years, even when he was running for president, where he would say things like, why do we have nuclear weapons if we don't use them? Which, you know, suggests a pretty serious naivete on his part. But how would you characterize the U.S.'s trend with nuclear weapons so far before Trump took office, so that we can contrast it with what we're seeing now? President Obama very famously made a strong postures, at least towards, and strong indications towards reducing the U.S.'s nuclear weapons. Whether or not that happened is in question. So what has the U.S. policy been before Trump?
The Obama administration had some good aspects to the nuclear policy that they were promulgating and some less good aspects. And the best part of their policy was that it put U.S. policy in line with what really a lot of the rest of the world wants, which is a pathway to the elimination of nuclear weapons. So Obama was very clear that that was the ultimate goal. And in doing that, there were ways in which they signaled that the U.S. was only interested in maintaining its nuclear arsenal as a deterrent force and never using it. The bad parts were the plan to rebuild the nuclear arsenal and spend billions of dollars on that nuclear arsenal. Trump's taken the second part and upped the ante, wanting to spend even more on nuclear weapons and abandon the goal of eliminating nuclear weapons.
So let's talk about this nuclear posture review seemingly written by Dr. Strangelove, because it's that pro-nuclear. What exactly does the U.S., because essentially this is now the official policy of the United States, right? What changes have you noticed that are worrying?
Well, there are a number of changes, and they basically all add up to eroding the difference between conventional war and nuclear war, and really downgrading the taboo on the use of nuclear weapons. So here we are at a time where many Americans are more scared of nuclear weapons and nuclear war than they have been in decades, and the administration is looking like it's making nuclear war more likely. So some of the things that it does is it calls for new, more usable nuclear weapons, weapons that could be used basically as a part of war fighting, where in the past, U.S. policy had been moving away from that for the most part. It increases the number of scenarios where it contemplates the use of nuclear weapons. So that's a huge problem. And it it also really downplays arms control as part of nuclear weapons policy. It explicitly says that new nuclear arms control agreements are quote unquote unlikely or difficult to foresee in this climate. And the worst thing is one of the worst things is we're going to have to spend trillions of dollars. We're already talking about $1.2 trillion for the new nuclear arsenal upgrades. And here we are talking about expanding that under the Trump administration.
Now, John, there was this thing that plagued the U.S. and the globe decades ago. It was the nuclear arms race, which many would, you know, had seen as not just providing an existential threat to the globe, but really being a race to the bottom between the U.S. and Russia. Doesn't this simply revive the nuclear arms race?
It does so, and it does so explicitly. I mean, this is one of those places where the Trump of offhand comments and official Trump administration policy come together. You'll recall he said, let there be an arms race. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, in the Nuclear Posture Review, it basically plays up the arms race with both Russia and China. It talks about specific weapons that Russia might build. It really plays up the arms race, and then it talks about what the United States is going to do in terms of building three new nuclear weapons, all of which will blow up the budget. So it not only reflects the arms race, it portrays it in very explicit ways.
One of the statements in the Nuclear Posture Review is, I just want to quote it. I mean, it really does. I mean, it's written by somebody who writes well, but reflects Trump's ideology. It says, we must look reality in the eye and see the world as it is, not as we wish it to be. This NPR, the Nuclear Posture Review, reflects the current pragmatic assessment of the threats we face and the uncertainties regarding the future security environment. This sort of reflecting what Trump said in his State of the Union address. You know, maybe someday in the future, there might be a magical moment when nations will give up their weapons, as if it's just completely out of our hands. But we have to be practical. And I mean, nuclear weapons are anything but practical, though.
Well, I think you see with some of the recent misfires of nuclear warning systems or missile warning systems in places like Hawaii, that humans make mistakes. And we've had so many close calls when it comes to nuclear weapons. So what's naive, what's not based in reality, is the assumption that if we're going to build up nuclear weapons, that there's never going to be a time when they're used. That's what's naive. So a lot of the theory behind the Nuclear Posture Review uses this language of rationality and being pragmatic, when it's really these fevered Cold War dreams of these Dr. Strangeloves. That's what the movie was about, how irrational that mentality is. And unfortunately, the rest of us, the rest of the world, is going to have to live with it for a while until we can stop it.
One of the themes running through the Nuclear Posture Review is the threat of cyber warfare, which it sort of singles out China and even Russia. And, you know, this is the U.S., as far as you can tell, sort of tempted to or thinking about a nuclear response to cyber attacks?
They took out the word cyberspace out of the final draft, but it's clear that they're talking about quote-unquote non-nuclear scenarios, and it includes what appears to be cyber warfare. It includes attacks on civilians. It includes attacks on infrastructure. So that's part of this eroding the barrier, the taboo on using nuclear weapons, and talking about using a first strike nuclear attack against a non-nuclear threat. So it's anyone's guess what that might include, and certainly they're pointing towards cyber warfare.
I mean, it used to feel like it was exaggeration that we were on the brink of nuclear war, and it doesn't seem that way anymore. The fear of nuclear war, given who's in power, given the state of the world, just and the fact that the Republican Party refuses to hold back their president just doesn't seem to be an unrealistic fear anymore. What about the Department of Defense? I mean, some people have hoped that the generals will reign supreme, that their level-headedness will restrict the U.S.'s warfighting to conventional war. And indeed, conventional war has greatly expanded under Trump. Do, as far as you can tell, do any of the leaders of our Defense Department, are they just as enthusiastic about this as Trump?
Unfortunately, it appears like there's a consensus within the administration, at least along the lines of what we've been talking about with the nuclear posture review. When James Mattis came in as a defense secretary, people were hopeful that he would turn away from this type of expansion, but apparently he's been captured by this perspective. So people, when they fear nuclear war, I think you're really pointing out something critical. At first, it's like, well, Trump is tweeting out about his buttons bigger, and he's kind of a madman, and you know, could he do something crazy, and will the generals rein him in? I think what's scary about the nuclear posture review is this was a product of a careful interagency process where the hawkish voices, and there were very hawkish voices involved in consulting on this, a nuclear hawks, Dr. Strangelove's, they won, and everybody went along with that. And these theories around the new nuclear weapons are backed up by some within the defense establishment. Not everybody. A lot of the more level-headed generals out in the field are opposed to this, but there are a lot of people around Trump, you know, brass, that are backing him up, and that's very dangerous. And that's why we need, you know, really a revived anti-nuclear movement in this country. If we're going to stop them, people have to really clamor for change and clamor against this.
What about Congress? I understand Defense Secretary Mattis is set to testify on Capitol Hill about the U.S.'s nuclear posture. Did he already do that? He'll be doing it as we speak.
pretty much. I mean, he's trying to, I've seen, I just had a couple moments to look at some of the things he said. Looks like he's trying to tamp down concerns about this and to try to frame it as mainstream. That's one of their talking points, is that this is a continuation of what the Obama administration was doing. I mean, in terms of spending, it's a continuation and then raising it. In terms of moving away from the use of nuclear weapons and contemplating the use of nuclear weapons, it's definitely turning around 180 degrees. But Mattis is trying to tamp down concerns. But I don't, you know, we need to push Congress not to listen to the administration, not to fund the new nuclear weapons, and to really cut back on nuclear weapon spending. One and a half, roughly, with inflation, $1 trillion over the next 30 years. We can't afford that if we're going to protect our citizens from other threats. So
the $1.2 trillion is just for the nuclear arsenal, or is that a military budget overall?
That's the just nuclear weapons.
Just nuclear weapons, $1.2 trillion.
Exactly.
Oh,
and
my
that's
goodness.
Without inflation, and that's prior to these new nuclear weapons in the nuclear posture review. So that number is going to grow.
What, that's just the maintenance costs?
Well, it includes some of the new weapons, like rebuilding new generation of bombers, new generation of missile silos. All of that stuff is being rebuilt. Obama did plan a lot of that. And then Trump has said, okay, we need new submarine-launched tactical nuclear weapons and those sorts of things. So it's going to grow that number. And we just can't afford it, just from a making ends meet standpoint, let alone, I mean, we need to rebuild or strengthen our healthcare system. We need to strengthen transportation in this country. We need to do a lot of things that this is starving by spending so much on nuclear weapons.
Now, the just another indication of how much our nuclear policy has been set back decades with the new nuclear arms race. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists in January announced that the doomsday clock was only 2 minutes to midnight, the closest since the 1950s. So this isn't just, you know, Peace Action is the nation's largest anti-nuclear and peace organization, disarmament organization, but this isn't just, you know, the sort of anti-war peaceniks concerned about this. Scientists are pretty clear that this threat is very real.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, scientists are very concerned. Policy experts are very concerned. I think a lot of members of Congress are very concerned. And I think the public's very concerned. Some of the polling in the run-up to the last election showed that undecided voters were very nervous about Trump having his finger on the nuclear button. And so this is an issue that moves voters. I think, you know, we at Peace Action try not to just stay in a peace silo. We're very concerned about social justice, economic justice, have been involved in some of those movements, particularly at the grassroots. But the resistance, quote unquote, and progressivism in general, I believe we need to step up our game on nuclear weapons and foreign policy. We're getting assaulted from so many sides, and so many people just individually are under attack. It's very difficult. But recently, some groups like Indivisible are stepping up and focusing on these issues a little bit more. And I think it's just we need a grassroots movement that's really strong to counter this, because the clock is close to midnight, and we've got to make sure that nuclear weapons are never used again.
And, you know, just to explain this idea of a nuclear arms race, START Treaty, which I'd mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, which is the bilateral U.S.-Russia treaty to try to just bring into control the nuclear weapons arsenals of both countries. The U.S. has apparently reiterated its commitment to this treaty, and Russia has done too, but Russia is questioning that because, you know, we have international controls on North Korea and its attempt to create a nuclear arsenal. But who's watching the United States? How can Russia trust the U.S. to meet its START Treaty obligations if Trump is, you know, making the statements he is, if our nuclear posture review is written by Dr. Strangelove?
Well, that's a worthy criticism. I mean, it was kind of unfortunate. There's been 7 years since the START Treaty went into effect. And on Monday, both Russia and the United States met their core disarmament goals. And we should be toasting, we should be celebrating that. But unfortunately, the Friday before, the U.S. had released its Strangelovian nuclear posture review. The first step that the Trump administration should be pressured to do by Congress is to extend the new START treaty for another 5 years. I mean, the last thing we need in this environment is to let go of the relatively modest disarmament agreements that we have. But Russia, you know, is angered at the nuclear posture review. And in fact, the posture review, despite Mr. Trump's reputation, really goes after Russia and kind of pokes at the nuclear bear there. And so, yeah, it looks like the start of an arms race. So we need to extend the New START treaty. The intent when New START was put forth, what the Obama administration wanted to do and others wanted to do, was to move forward and have deeper reductions in the U.S. and Russian arsenals, since those are the two by far largest nuclear powers. So at some point, we need to get back to the negotiating table with Russia. But this kind of arms race rhetoric and, unfortunately, arms race spending and execution is going to make that even harder to do.
John, give out a website for Peace Action.
It's www.peaceaction.org.
We'll post a link to that from our website later today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
John Rainwater is the executive director of Peace Action. We've been discussing the U.S.'s new and terrifying nuclear policy under Trump. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.